a lot of the parents that attend are parents that have children with, say, autism spectrum disorders or Fragile X syndrome or Down syndrome. They're some of the common disorders that we see, but really it's open to anyone who has a child with a disability. We're looking at sort of kids in the age range of maybe 2 to 10, 12 years old. And in terms of when they participate, it's really up to them if they feel like they need help.
So the Stepping Stones project in particular is an extension upon the Triple P program?
That's right. Yeah, so it's a new program. So it's built on the same principles as the Triple P program, but it's really tailored to meet the specific needs of families that have disabilities. At the top of the program, there's a media strategy which reaches out to all parents. So you might see an ad on the side of the bus, probably not at this stage, but eventually maybe you might see an ad on the side of the bus. And then it goes through different levels where if you have kids with really high needs, you might receive a more intensive program where you might work one-on-one with a practitioner. You might see them 10 times one-on-one until you see the desired results.
What does Stepping Stones provide that the Triple P might not?
So it's really about those specific materials, so the tip sheets and stuff like that that the parents have access to, which are really tailored towards their specific needs. But the other thing that's really important is that the practitioners that deliver this program to the families are specifically trained in this program. So they know all about the disabilities and the specific needs of these families. So when you're working with a practitioner, they can really understand your problems and where you're coming from.
And what's your role in all of this? You're coming from, I guess, a health economics side. How do you interplay in this project?
Yeah, so my specific role is actually looking at the economic evaluation of the program. So by that I mean I'm looking at the costs and the benefits of the program and having a look at how these compare to each other. So, for example, some of the things I'm looking at are, does a parent take more or less absences from work after receiving the program? So an example of this might be that it's really common that kids who have these disabilities exhibit what we call behavioural and emotional problems, where the kids have disruptive behaviours. This might be aggression or it might be biting or a whole range of problems. So an example of how this might affect a parent's productivity is that they might get a phone call one day saying, oh, you need to come pick up your child from school because they've been biting another child. So they have to rush off and leave their job, and as a result they have to take an absence from work. And if we can work on improving those behaviours, then parents might not have to take so much leave from work. So that's an example of some of the more economic-y, I suppose, outcomes that we're looking at.
And how do you do that? How do you gather that information?
So for this program, it's part of a broader research program. So these parents are actually being asked to fill out quite detailed questionnaires. So they fill in a questionnaire before they receive the program, and then they fill in a questionnaire after they receive the program. And we look at any changes that may have happened in between.
Do we have a program similar to one that is honing in on this particular focus? You were talking about really having that kind of like engagement between family and child and practitioner. Do we have something aside from Triple P, which from my understanding is a bit broader, that we've looked to maybe elsewhere overseas?
Yeah, so that's actually why this program is so innovative, because for this group of people, really, so when we're looking at kids that have a disability and also have these behavioural and emotional problems, really their only option in terms of treatment is seeing a psychiatrist or psychologist, which is quite a targeted intervention. So these kids often don't actually seek access to the help. We know that with kids who have even severe behavioural and emotional problems, only 10% of people actually seek help. So having a program that is much more widely available to people, we hope that more people will actually seek help and get the care that they need.
You were talking about how kind of in the economic analysis of this project, looking to absences, there must be so many threads for you to look at how much money would be invested here, where it needs to go there, how parents might be affected in that way, trying to take time out from work. How do you weave all these different threads together to know how much a program like this might cost? And the roll-on effects from that, like parents having to take absences.
Yeah, so that's why it's such a challenging area to look at, is because when you're looking at something like children with a disability, the outcomes that you might see are across such a broad range of things. You might see parents taking less absences. You might see things like caregivers having less stress. You might see outcomes like the children actually having less disruptive behaviours. So the outcomes are really varied, and why this has become a PhD in such a big project is because we've got so many things to look at. Some of the other things we're looking at are, do the medications, number of medications that the children take, increase or decrease after taking the program?
Right.
There's a whole wide range of things we're looking at, and some of those things have an economic impact. Some of those are less tangible, like the caregiver stress that it's hard to place a dollar value on, but it doesn't mean that they're not important. They're just things that we need to consider, or governments need to consider, when they're deciding how to invest that money.
Are you also finding, by looking into all of this, areas that you kind of assumed didn't cost money before are costing money? Like, you know, about that, I guess, medication effectiveness, whether or not that's working is an obvious one, but others maybe not so, and you're like, more money is being sucked up in this area.
Yeah, so one really interesting example that we've found so far is that when you're looking at economics, really the objective is to reduce the amount of money spent, is the whole aim. But there are other things that are important. So one really interesting example that we've come across is that when we were looking at how many services caregivers access, so things like access to various support groups and things like that, we actually found that after the program, caregivers actually accessed respite care and support groups more often than they did prior to receiving the program.
Right.
So when you look at the cost of this, this actually represents a cost to the government or to society, which doesn't look nice on a piece of paper. But actually, we're really helping these families, and they're accessing more services that are going to really help them in the future. So we have to look at things holistically. So while economics is important, we need to make sure that we're looking at things from the bigger perspective as well.